The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To reach the center for marital or familial matters, call the Evan Ezer Division at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
The Gemara is discussing a Mishnah which says that a person is not allowed to get a refuah from a roife who's a nachri, because we're afraid that the roife who's a nachri might kill him. The Gemara says that if the person anyways is only in a situation where he can expect to have chayei shah, so then l'chayei shah loy chayei shinan, and memela, a person is allowed to seek a refuah from a roife who's a nachri. The Gemara brings a raya from the story of Gehazi and his four children, who were starving outside of the city of Shimron, and they said it's better to go and fall into the hands of Aram, maybe they'll give us food to eat. So even though they were possibly putting themselves to death by handing themselves over under the control of the soldiers of Aram, nevertheless, it was mutter for them to do it because, anyways, they only had Chayei Shah because they were starving to death. And therefore, they were allowed to do a ma'isa, which would cause them immediate death. The Achrayim discuss what the halacha is if a person, this is a very shchiyatik thing with end-of-life decisions, if a person is in a situation where he's suffering from a terminal illness, and the doctors say that he only has a certain amount of time to live, would that person be allowed to undertake to do a risky procedure which could possibly give him chayi olam, extend his life to what's normal for people his age, or would but that procedure also carries the risk of dying immediately. So would the person be allowed to carry out that procedure and put himself in sakana? Or so the Achrenim say that we could bring a raya from this Gemara, l'chayei shah l'chayei shinan, so a person is allowed to go and have that procedure performed on him to make sure to try as much as he can to get to attain chayei olam rather than worry about the chayei shah. The question is, the Achrenim argue about whether or not a Yiddish doctor is allowed to perform this procedure. The Mishnah's Chachamim says that such a procedure must only be performed by a goyish doctor. Why? Because we don't see in the Gemara that a Yid is allowed to kill another Yid biyadayim. That a Yid is allowed to take the life of another Yid with his hands in order to help that Yid get chayei olam. All we see in the Gemara is that you're allowed to approach a goyish doctor and ask him to heal you, even though that carries the possibility that the doctor will kill you. But we don't see, and Gehazi and his three sons also, they put themselves in the hands of the Machne Aram. But they didn't do anything, biodayim, which could have killed them. So Mishnah Chachamim said, this procedure, this risky procedure, must be performed by a goyish doctor. However, most Achrayim argue on him, Chaim Reisman says that, how could it be that that you let it go and ask a goyish doctor to do it? They'll be over lifnei iver by asking the goyish doctor to perform this procedure. If the procedure is considered ritzicha for a yid, it should also be considered ritzicha for a goy, and therefore the yid who asks him to do it would be over lifnei iver. Rav Moshe Feinstein taines that if a person kills himself, he's also over leisertzach, and the Gemara is probably also talking about a situation where the patient is going to have to take some kind of pill and do some kind of action to help facilitate this procedure. And therefore, if the patient is also able to search us, there's really no difference between the patient and another, and a Yiddish doctor. If the patient is allowed to approach a Goyish doctor and help him with the procedure, certainly it should be mutter for another Yiddish doctor to do it. Rav Chaim Oizer actually says a very big chiddush. Rav Chaim Oizer says that it's preferable for the procedure to be performed by a Yiddish doctor, because if the person is in a situation where Alpi Alachi will be considered a treifa, it's possible, says Rav Chaim Oizer, that a goy who kills a treifa is chayiv, but a yid who kills a treifa is pater. And therefore, it's better to have a Yiddish doctor perform the procedure, because in that case, there's zikr no question of ritzicha. However, if a goyish doctor performs the procedure, there's a possibility that we're dealing with ritzicha, because even though he's a treifa, the goyish doctor will be over in ritzicha by killing him. Rav Moshe argues on this strenuously. He says that it doesn't make sense to him that if it's mutter for a yid, it should certainly be mutter for a guy. And he says it's certainly aser for both of them. It's aser to kill a treifa. A person who kills a treifa is chayav b'dinei shamayim. It's just that Bezdin won't punish him, but nevertheless, he's over an iser d'oraisa over tzicha. Another big question in the Achrayim is, let's say the procedure, the chances of its success are slim. There's a small percentage that the procedure will work. It's more likely that the procedure will cause the patient's immediate death. What would be the halacha then? Would the person be allowed to undergo the procedure, or would the person at that point have to say that it's more important, the vadei chayei shah is more important than the slim chance of attaining chayei regular normal life? So somebody wanted to bring a raya to Ramesha from Rashi in our sugya. Rashi says by the doctor who's Ein Yehudi, Rashi says that he's vadei going to kill the person. So it sounds like even though the procedure has a very small chance of working, because Rashi even calls it a vadei. Rashi uses the terminology that the goyish doctor is vadei going to kill the person. If so, we're dealing with the procedure that is in all probability the yid will not emerge from this procedure alive. Nevertheless, we say, rather choose this procedure than the Vadei Chayei Olam. So we see that even if, in all probability, the person will die, nevertheless, the halacha is that he's allowed to perform the procedure. Ramesha argues on the Raya. Ramesha says that it doesn't make sense to him that Rashi should write such a thing that the doctors Ein Yehudi will Vadei kill. It doesn't make any sense. Ramesha says what Rashi must mean is that the doctor who's Ein Yehudi, there's a suffix if he's going to kill. And every doctor, every procedure, even a Yiddish doctor, there's a suffix that'll kill. And therefore, there's an overwhelming majority that the person will die from the procedure. Number one, because whichever doctor would perform it, the Gemara in Kedushin says, why? Because a roife naturally is not careful, as careful as he should be with his work. And therefore, and therefore, it's likely that a doctor will kill him. And if you add into the mix the fact that the doctor is Ein Yehudi and he doesn't care about Ritzicha at all, that only increases the likelihood that he'll be killed. And that's what Rashi means when Rashi says he's Vadei going to kill him. He doesn't mean because the Ein Yehudi himself, there's a 90% chance that he'll want to kill him. He means b'tzir of the fact that any doctor would kill him. Says Ramesha, if so, it comes out that the fact that we're choosing Ein Yehudi to perform the procedure is not adding a statistical probability that the person will die more than without the Ein Yehudi. We're dealing with a situation where the person's dying now anyways. The procedure has to be performed in order to lengthen his life to even be considered Chayei Shah. In that case, since the Ein Yehudi doing the procedure doesn't increase the likelihood with a roiv, he only increases it with a suffix, so therefore, we don't have a raya to this yisoid. However, he brings down the Dachi Ezer, anyway, he seems to say, like the Shoyal said, that even in a case where the overwhelming majority is that the person will not survive the procedure and the procedure will not be successful, nevertheless, he is allowed to do the procedure. Ramesha writes, though, that a person is not mechuyiv to do this procedure. And he brings a very interesting raya from our Gemara. He says that even in a case where there's a 50-50% chance of the success of the procedure, nevertheless, a person is not mechuyiv to undertake to do this procedure. A person has the right to say, I'm choosing chayei shah, I'm not going to choose chayei olam. This possibility of chayei olam. Why? Because Ramesha says, what does the Gemara mean? Why does the Gemara bring a raya from Gehazi and his three children? We know from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Gehazi and his three that Gehazi does not have a chelik in Olam Haba. Gehazi was a big Rasha. So how could we bring a raya from Gehazi and his children to this halacha that we're learning over here? Who said that they did the right thing? Maybe they did the wrong thing. The answer is, says Ramesha, that we see clearly that this halacha is not a din that we must do one way or over the other. This halacha is a halacha that we have to figure out what normal people would want. What the Gemara means is that a person should do the normal thing. If a normal person would like Chayei Shah, then a person should pursue Chayei Shah. If a normal person would like Chayei Olam, then a person should pursue Chayei Olam. And from Gehazi and his three children, we see that some people will choose to go and pursue the Chayei Olam rather than the Vadei Chayei Shah. But it doesn't mean that we have to do that. Gehazina's children can't teach us halacha that we must do that because they were a shun. The Gemara just sees in the story of Gehazi what normal people would do. And therefore, this obviously is an elective halacha. It's not a halacha where the Torah is telling us we must choose this path over another path. The Torah is just telling us that we have a right to do it because it's a normal thing to do. And therefore, says Ramesh, we can't force a person to choose one course of action over another. The Gemara is just saying that each course of action is a valid course of action. However, Ramesh says that if Rav, chances are that he's going to live longer because that he's going to live Chai Olam because of the procedure, then he is mechuyev to follow the procedure because Rav, in that case, the majority rules, and therefore, if it's more likely than not that the procedure will be successful, the person is mechuyev al pi Torah to do that procedure. As far as what the hagdara of Chai Shah is. It's a very interesting thing because Ramesh in other places writes that Chayesha means that a person is not going to live the normal lifespan of a person his age. That's what he writes when it comes to feeding patients and these kind of things, terminally ill patients. He writes the Chai Olam and Chai Shah. The way to know what's Chai Olam, what's Chai Shah is the Chai Olam is living the normal life expectancy of such a person. However, over here, he writes clearly that if the doctors say that the person will live longer than 12 months, that's already considered Chai Olam. So I heard over this Ramesha, I was very surprised. I thought it was Saisa, the other Ramesha that I knew. However, when I look carefully in Ramesha, Ramesha clearly says that when he says 12 months, he doesn't mean that 12 months is a cutoff, and past 12 months is Chai Olam. Ramesha brings down that Reb Chaim Oizer in his Shuva wrote that the doctors were saying that the person is going to live for 6 months. So Ramesha says, since Reb Chaim Oizer only said that the person is going to live for 6 months, we don't have a raya what Reb Chaim Oizer would have said if the person would have lived for 12 months and more. Says Ramesha, even though the normal definition of Chai Olam is living the normal amount of life that a person could expect to live. However, we have no way of knowing how long this person is going to live. If the doctors are telling us that he's going to live for 12 months, we have no right to say that the doctors know with certainty that he's going to die in 13 months. There's no way for the doctors to know that. Bishlam is 6 months. Reb Chaim Oizer told us we can rely on the doctors. If the doctors say he's going to live for 6 months and not longer, fine. That we could rely on it. And we can extend that to 12 months, because we know in the Torah there's a chashivas of 12 months. However, once the doctors are telling us that he'll live longer than 12 months, we don't necessarily have a right to trust the doctors when they tell us that he's not going to live longer than 15 months. The doctors don't necessarily have enough understanding to be able to tell us that, and we don't necessarily have to trust them. And therefore, once the doctors are telling us that that without any procedure he can live longer than 12 months, we don't necessarily, in that case, we can't say that the person only has Chai Shah and he may elect to undergo a procedure which could kill him right now. Once the doctors are saying that he could live longer than 12 months, the person has to be concerned that he's already in a situation where he has Chai Olam, a great concern for the person, and he doesn't have the right to go and do a procedure which might kill him right away. However, I once heard a person talking to my Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Miller, and he was telling my Rebbe that a person had a brain tumor, and the doctors were saying he could live up to 2 or 3 years. And but there is a procedure that they can perform, which may give him a normal life, and it may kill him right away. So Rav Shlomo Miller allowed them to undergo that procedure. And he explained to me afterwards, the person actually who was speaking to him was very surprised because of this Tshuva Ramesha, but he explained it to me, and he said that although the doctors are saying that he could live up to 2 or 3 years, that doesn't mean that the doctors are confident of that, and we can't assume that the doctors are neman to say such a thing. And therefore, even though Ramesha says that once the doctors tell us he's living 12 months, that would be considered Chai Olam, in this case, the doctors have no idea how long he can live. They're saying it's possible that he can live for 2, 3 years. But it's not Mukach, and therefore, the person might anyways die within a year. And adding to this what we just said, that Ramayisha doesn't mean to say that 12 months is a real cutoff point. He just means that once the doctor is saying he's going to live longer than 12 months, so then we can't trust the doctor when he says that the person is terminally ill. It could be this person will live a normal life. However, in the case where the person has a brain tumor, where we know that the person is terminally ill, and the brain tumor will kill him, therefore, it's likely to say that in that case it is considered Chayei Shoah, even though the doctors are saying that it's possible for him to live longer than a year.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.